Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Tye.
Thursday edition of Wisconsin's Midday News on WTMJ. Greg and Jessica with you till 3 o'clock. We've got Eric and Julia coming in with Wisconsin's afternoon news. No sports tonight. The Bucks off. They'll visit the Toronto Raptors for a game on Friday.
Here's your top 2 at 2 on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Number one, the Senate just failed to advance a Republican-backed measure that would pay federal workers, military members, and contractors who have continued to work during this government shutdown. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin introduced that bill. It's called the Shutdown Fairness Act. It needed Democratic support to reach the 60 votes required to advance, and it didn't have that. Air traffic controllers are among those not being paid. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy was on Capitol Hill today to deliver a message about that. Duffy says would-be controllers are now having second thoughts.
But I'm getting word now from Oklahoma City, where I have young air traffic controller students who are now telling me, what the hell am I doing? Why am I going to take this job? They're thinking about leaving the academy, smart young men and women, because they don't want to work for a system that won't pay them.
If you jump into their minds, think about that. Like, you're just starting your career. You're very interested in this. You're training right now. This is a high-pressure job. And then all of a sudden, you're looking out at the world going, okay, but I could be doing this and not getting paid right now.
Well, that is the underlying, or overwhelming, I should say, frustration with all of this. I can only imagine the general public shares the same sentiment. But there's just as many as look at the Democratic side that look at the Republican side and say, hey, figure it out then, right? And just figure it out. What does it matter with you people? Get it done. And you don't have to worry about holding press conferences like this.
If you're keeping track, we're now in day 23 of the government shutdown.
New weekly data from Freddie Mac, the financial consultants, show mortgage rates have fallen to their lowest level in over a year. ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
The lower rates are boosting sales of existing homes by 1.5% from last month, says the National Association of Realtors. The 30-year fixed rate mortgage averages 6.19%. A year ago at this time, the rate was 6.54%. Also a little lower than last week, the 15-year fixed rate mortgage averaging 5.44%. A year ago at this time, the 15-year rate averaged 5.71%.
So the government shutdown is sort of delaying reports that the Fed uses to calculate where interest rates might go. I think it's more of a nuisance than anything else. They rely on the reports, but they can figure out the data. They can hammer through that. Possible there could be another rate cut announced by the end of the month. Economists believe either one or two more rate cuts before the end of the year.
It's so interesting with this government shutdown how every day you see something else that's impacted. And just to kind of pull the curtain here, I reached out to the FBI in Milwaukee yesterday for a potential interview. And the response I got, automated response. Thank you for reaching out to the FBI Milwaukee Public Affairs Office. During the current lapse in appropriations, FBI operations are directed toward national security, violations of federal law, and essential public safety functions. In a nutshell, that means we will not be responding to this request until the government is back up and running.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who politely declined to come on the radio, too. He's like, look, I'd love to, but I can't right now. But he does have the pleasure, as he put it, of working while not being paid.
The pleasure.
As an essential federal employee. 214 on WTMJ, wild story involving NBA names you will recognize, mafia, gambling, poker, and sports betting, and an empire that is crumbling. We'll go through it. The details are after this. So the NBA season is fresh underway. Bucks played their first game of the season last night and got a win. So the Miami Heat were in Orlando playing the Magic. So a little interstate battle right there in southern Florida, actually kind of the central part of Florida in Orlando. And Terry Rozier he didn't play for the team. He was out last night. But nonetheless, he's traveling with the team. And then he doesn't get to travel back home with the team because he got arrested at his hotel this morning. So did Portland Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups and Naismith Hall of Famer, NBA champion, former league MVP, also former Bucks guard Damon Jones. He had two separate stints with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, kind of short, but he was with us. Not once, but twice.
Yes, they are among more than 30 defendants, including some purported organized crime figures with mafia ties involved in two illegal schemes here. Sports betting, high-tech poker, cheating at the heart of it all. Unbelievable story. Peter King of CBS joins us here to help us sift through it all. It's an amazing scene, right? You're traveling with your team, NBA season is starting, and all of a sudden a coach and a player are both arrested, not able to be with the team anymore, Peter. Just a crazy story.
That's right.
Here.
There's now another seat available on the team plane.
Yes, so let's bring this back to its origin. We heard Cash Patel talk about it earlier this morning. Sounds like they've been, you know, investigating in this for several years. I guess, where do you start here? Is it more about the poker? Is it more about the sports betting? Is it really linked together? How do you see it?
Well, here's the thing. There are two separate investigations, and Damon Jones, I believe, was actually involved in both of them. So he gets a twofer. Why don't we start with things involving active players, and in this case, Terry Rozier of the Miami Heat. He was then with the Charlotte Hornets, and the example they gave this morning was basically that he had told people close to him that he was going to exit a game early, which he did. They turned around, they told people, go out and bet on this stuff because you can bet on that stuff. They bet in the neighborhood of thousands of dollars and wound up with something like $200,000 in illegal payoffs based on that inside information. This goes back to 2023. Now, there were other instances of this, and this dates back to, again, 2023. You may remember Toronto Raptor Jontay Porter was part of an investigation, banned for life. This is part of that investigation as well. Now, when it comes to the poker, it's even more complicated than this.
So I was just looking at the Justice Department news release here, and they list a couple of the relevant games, which is really interesting to see, as you were talking about how it dates back to, in some of these cases, 2022, but with many of these games, 2023. I do see listed on here February 9th, 2023, Los Angeles Lakers versus our Milwaukee Bucks. There is so much intrigue into the story. I'm also wondering about these mafia families. Who are these mafia families who are alleged to be involved?
Okay, the mafia families were involved in the poker scam, and we have to give you a little background on that. Basically, they targeted star-struck high rollers who wanted to play poker with big-name former athletes. That's where Chauncey Billups comes in. Damon Jones comes in on that one as well. And they basically lured them in and fleeced them using a high-tech system involving wireless technology. I mean, some of the things they were talking about, I had no idea existed. Off-the-shelf shuffle machines that could secretly detect altered cards, equipment that could predict who had the best poker hand. They relayed that information to an offside operator who relayed it to the person they called the quarterback at the poker table, who would signal the ringers on what to do. So, you know, the house would always win. It was just insanity. And this is dating back to 2019. The Bonanno family, the Gambino family, and Genovese organized crime families, all out of New York, allegedly involved because some of those games were in New York and they basically, you know, owned the poker concession, if you will, for New York City. And they weren't going to let this happen without getting a piece of the pie. So they are accused in all this as well.
So Billups is set to have his initial court appearance in Portland today. Would these be state and federal charges potentially here, Peter?
I think these are federal charges. I don't know for sure. Rozier was supposed to have his first court appearance here in Orlando. He didn't travel back to Miami with the team.
I was also reading something about special contact lenses or glasses. I mean, this sounds like it's ripped out of the movies.
Yeah. Analyzers, poker chip tray analyzers and special glasses that could read pre-marked cards and another device that could read cards face down. You guys remember opening scene in Goldfinger, or the early scene in Goldfinger, the 60s James Bond movie, where Goldfinger was cheating at cards by having his female accomplice spy on the opponent with binoculars from a hotel balcony and radio him what the cards were so he would win. This makes all that stuff look so quaint, doesn't it?
Jeez, I know. It's like, where do you get those contact lenses? I wanted to ask, too, how is the NBA responding to this?
You know, the only thing I've seen so far from the NBA is that both Rozier and Billups are on leave from their teams. We haven't seen the word suspended yet. We know the NBA is watching these prosecutions and investigations very, very closely.
ABC's Peter King, or excuse me, CBS's Peter King. My apologies, Peter, wrong network there. We appreciate you joining us today.
That's okay. Nice being on with you guys, and thank you for having me.
Much appreciated. CBS's Peter King. So Damon Jones had two different stints with Milwaukee, as I mentioned. Chauncey Billups was a marquee player in the league and now a head coach. Terry Rozier has been in the league for a while, kind of public enemy number one to Bucks fans, given some of his playoff performances and teams that the Bucks would face in the postseason. But these are notable names in NBA circles that apparently went to great lengths to try and make more money in the world of illegal gambling. And in the case of Rozier, what happened in his case back in 2023, he's playing for the Charlotte Hornets, and all of a sudden a surge of prop bets with his name attached to it are peppered about different sports books, right? Lower on total points scored, lower on rebounds or assists, right? Because he says, I'm out. I'm going to take myself out of the game. I'm going to have a foot injury. So then he bails on his team, number one. He sort of lines the pockets of people who are in the know that go place bets on him. And then ultimately, the sports books flag this and say, whoa, that's weird. Why would we get that many bets at that given time, this surge of betting on a relatively obscure player in the NBA?
Yeah, the DOJ says that that Charlotte Hornets game versus the New Orleans Pelicans, that he left the game after 9 minutes, generating tens of thousands of dollars in profits. And I want to dig into more about that Milwaukee game as well. I don't see any details listed right here, but that February 9th, 2023 Lakers game versus the Bucks. What happened in that one? We're going to find out.
So interesting. 2:25 here on WTMJ and more to come. Not sure what the official charges are going to be and what it could mean in terms of prison time and fines, all that kind of stuff. But it's a big, massive story here breaking across the nation. So we knew it was coming to Port Washington, but now we know the players involved. OpenAI, Oracle, and Vantage Data Centers are investing more than $15 billion to build a major data center campus in Port Washington. It's part of the Stargate project, which we learned about yesterday. And a big deal, according to MMAC President Dale Coinga.
These are the type of supercomputers that will make personalized medicine customized for your genomes, for your diet, for your atmosphere, for your activity.
And Dale also says that critical for national security, right? That you want to be in the leaders in AI. Somebody else is, that can be potentially dangerous to national security in the United States. Yes, there is backlash. Yes, there is support in Port Washington, where they've had a number of common council meetings. In fact, they've had to move them to a larger venue to account for all the people that are going to speak out for or against the idea of these data centers in Port Washington. Pretty small town, right? About 13,000 people. And this is a major, major operation in an otherwise kind of small and proud town.
Yeah, Vantage Data Center says the campus will feature four cutting-edge data centers providing close to a gigawatt of AI capacity. Construction is supposed to begin soon, scheduled for completion in 2028. And when you talk about jobs, here's what they're saying. The project expects to create more than 4,000 skilled construction jobs, most of which will be union jobs. And then what happens once complete? Well, Vantage and Oracle say they're going to create more than 1,000 long-term jobs and thousands more indirect jobs. Now, that's what the companies are saying, as we have seen with various cases, including Foxconn, per se. It doesn't always happen, but we'll keep our fingers crossed that the numbers that they're saying do come true.
Well, and I think it's a reasonable question, because AI's intent is to automate, right? You ask the computer to do that thing
right
for you, right? Not the person to do that thing for you. So it's a reasonable question. Long-term questions, I think, are certainly reasonable. Of course, comedian Charlie Behrens is raising questions about the project's massive water and energy consumption. and the potential strain on Wisconsin's natural wheat resources. We've learned more recently that some of these data centers have built-in cooling operations that don't require the water to, you know, gallons and thousands of gallons of water. Just the natural cooling effects of the lake should help. And yes, Port Washington is right there along Lake Michigan. Mayor Ted Nienske is hearing from everybody on this in Port Washington. He's going to join us on tomorrow's program because I think there are many questions. And I want to know what's at the core of the frustration and what is at the backbone of those who are super excited about this in Port Washington. What are the folks in Port Washington actually saying about this? Oracle really stands out to me, too, because you might recall they're tasked with managing the algorithm for the U.S. version of TikTok. Is it possible the work they do for this just comes out of Port Washington and this campus that they'd be building?
Yeah, it's an interesting question that we'll have to ask. I think some concerns, certainly, well, we know some concerns have to do with preserving local resources. So I am interested to hear from the companies on their response to that. And in this particular campus, it's going to be named Lighthouse. They say that it's designed to preserve local resources. So when we talk about energy, they say 100% matched zero emission energy. So Vantage is enabling the development of new zero emission energy capacity in Wisconsin, including solar, wind, and battery storage. They say 70% of the energy capacity will be allocated to the Lighthouse campus, while 30% will be made available to all of Wisconsin consumers. Then when you also talk about the water, right, a lot of people are concerned about that. They say water positive. This is according to the company. The campus will leverage a closed-loop liquid cooling system that uses minimal water and drives significant energy savings. To minimize its impact on water resources, Vantage is investing in local water restoration projects to achieve water positivity, restoring more water to freshwater sources than the campus actually consumes. So I like hearing some of those details from the company because there were a lot of worries, right? And again, this is what the company is saying. We'll see what actually happens. But it's nice to dive into those details.
You know, these are massive. These are massive structures, right? So the strain on energy will be significant. But are there opportunities to store energy? Like you mentioned, the idea of solar. Can you donate some of that stored energy back to the grid so that, you know, people living in Port Washington aren't paying that much more on their We Energies bills and so on? So all questions for Ted. He's going to join us at tomorrow's program. But we now know more details about this. This broke yesterday afternoon, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And Common Council meetings, like I mentioned, will continue here in the month of November. They had to move these things in Port Washington because of the outpouring of people interested in the project, either for it or against it in Port Washington. It's 2:43 here on WTMJ. We continue after this. Well, gardening expert Melinda Myers has had a prolific career in radio and television. The Designer Yard Show was one thing, and then he had the Plant Doctor, right? Everything horticulture on WTMJ back in my early days, roughly 24 years ago. She was a hit, right? The Plant Doctor. Melinda Myers, always a hit at State Fair. She still joins us, still involved, still doing everything with regard to plants.
She has so many good tips, whether you're talking about your flowers or the bushes or your herbs and the peppers. I love it.
Well, she's a wonderful person as well. She tells WTMJ's Libby Collins about hosting a show which featured celebrities and their gardens.
One of the shows that you did, it was something called Yard Work.
Oh, yes.
Where you interviewed celebrities in their gardens. Who are some of the celebrities you talked with?
Eddie Albert. We interviewed him. He had 18-foot tall corn. And Eddie Albert was great, but he had an agenda. Every time I'd ask a question, he'd kind of steer it to what he wanted to talk about.
Wait, what was his agenda?
He just wanted people to garden, which was great. And he was talking about the desert and how we need to garden. But he was great. And then Ava Gabor.
You interviewed Ava Gabor.
In her yard.
Did
darling.
She actually have a garden?
She came out in a flowy gown and a straw hat, and she had the Ava rose, and I was so excited. I bent over, and I'm like, oh, your rose, this is great. And we broke to reset, and she goes, darling, if you ever get between me and the camera, I will just have to rip your eyes out. I was like, okay, I won't do that again.
Such a great person.
Oh,
and a wonderful conversation. Much more with The plant doctor, Melinda Byers, and Libby Collins, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock on WTMJ Conversations. Wonderful person. We always talk to her during our run at the fair.
Celebrities in their gardens. That just reminded me. So over the weekend, my mom and I went up to Kohler for their food and wine festival. And one of the things that we did was the Martha Stewart experience, which maybe we'll have to talk about that tomorrow in the dinner, because it was kind of out of this world and a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, I feel. But before that, on Saturday, we went to what they called a fireside chat. I initially thought it was just going to be Martha and maybe a moderator. But also included in that chat was a man who, I'll be honest, I was not familiar with. Some of you might be. I was not. His name is Richard Christensen. He is the founder of Flamingo Estate. So I started to look up more about Flamingo Estate, and it's basically like this LA lifestyle company. He does a lot with gardens and selling candles. In fact, after the Martha Stewart dinner, you were able to take one of the candles home from Flamingo Estate. But he was talking about during this conversation, this fireside chat with Martha, how he has worked with certain celebrities for their gardens and to grow things. So Pamela Anderson was somebody he mentioned. He worked with Pamela Anderson to grow spicy pickles. Pamela's pickles. So you can actually go and buy those. Also, and this one was very intriguing to me. He didn't give a lot of details about it, but he talked about working with LeBron James and putting beehives up on top of his rooftop so that he could make honey. Isn't it fascinating?
That is absolutely fascinating, right? Absolutely fascinating stuff. Well, Melinda's always busy, but do you ever wonder what she does when plants aren't blooming in the winter?
Our connection to nature goes way, way back. Getting yourself outside, getting your kids outside is so important and so helpful. There's a lot of fear, depending on your parents' view. I overheard a woman go, "Now, don't do that. There are bees out here, and they're going to sting you." And I'm like, oh, I really wanted to go up and say, you know what? Not if you leave them alone. They're our friends. But I didn't think I should intervene. But I've had to work with my daughter and grandkids as they're growing up. Bugs are our friends. They do good things. Let's watch them, you know. And if you watch the lady beetles eating aphids and you talk about the parasitizing wasps that take care of the hornworms, it becomes like the sci-fi movies. And it's way more exciting than that daisy sitting in the garden.
Sounds great. The hornworm. I don't want that thing near me, that is for sure. But I will listen on Sunday at 11, WTMJ Conversations, Libby Collins and Melinda Myers. 2:53 on WTMJ. We wrap up the program with some final thoughts after this. Wrapping up a Thursday edition of Wisconsin's Midday News. Looks like all clear at MATC. Just getting an update here. The campus had been on lockdown for a couple of hours, and doors, windows were locked and closed. Those who were on campus were asked to stay indoors in their location. Police went in with guns drawn. No shots were fired, at least that we know of. Working on getting you more details to this story, but it appears to be an all clear at MATC, a building in a campus that was on lockdown for a little over an hour, between an hour and 2 hours, with an event this afternoon. Working to get more details on it, but looks like things are in the clear.
Good news to a breaking news update. We also want to let you know, pay attention to this one. A widespread frost freeze warning goes into effect at 2 a.m., and that is for all of southeastern Wisconsin. Yes, the time has come. Temps are going to dip down to like 35 near the lake, but 29 inland. So that means if you have any precious plants that need to come in, the time is now.
We'll see if the Matzik family can hold off on putting the heat on for another night. We'll see. This is getting into the danger zone here. We might want to crank it up a little bit later tonight. 2:57 on WTMJ, the Wisconsin's Midday News podcast built by Siding Unlimited. The show is up, ready for you. Sign up wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe. It's Wisconsin's Midday News podcast built by Siding Unlimited. Wisconsin's Afternoon News with Julia and Eric after this.